Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Is it there?
No,
it's over here. All right.
A big gas leak has shut down Northwest Broadway in the area of the Greyhound Station.
Northwest Broadway. I'm trying to like...
That's where the Greyhound Station is.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's there anyway?
People hanging around the Greyhound Station.
Homeless guys. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I don't think I have it, though. That's the thing, sir. I'm like, sorry, a little behind-the-scenes talk there. Oh, before we go any further, we should talk about this. Only because I love 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is giving away 3 million free Slurpee drinks to say, how do they know that? That seems like one of those, I love 7-Eleven, but that's one of those things like the Oscars are watched by a billion people. They're making that up in advance. 7-Eleven is giving away free Slurpee drinks today to say, oh, thank heaven, to their customers for 79 years. Are you kidding me? Customers visiting one of the more than 5,800 participating 7-Eleven stores in the U.S. and Canada can enjoy a free 7.11-ounce Slurpee drink, the semi-frozen beverage that 7-Eleven, did they create that? That kind of drink? Because there's the Slurpee, and then there's what? There's the slushy? Isn't the slush, or is that...
And then DQ has a Mr. Misty.
A Mr. Misty. That, you know, Dairy Queen has got the coolest names for stuff. I know that I'm talking about 7-Eleven. This is not a commercial anyway. I'm just reading this. Okay, man. But I, you know, 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is a huge part of pop culture. I've said for the longest time that there should be some sort of a coffee table book that was all about convenience stores. It's like that whole conversation in Heather's between what's her name, Veronica and JD, where they're talking about the, what is that, Turbo Dog or whatever that place that they're at. Convenience stores are really comforting to me in a strange way, and they always have been. And I think a lot of it has to do with being in radio, because in radio, you're constantly moving as what's his name? As Andy, the guy from WKRP said, town to town, up and down the dial. And he's always, and 7-Eleven, not unlike USA Today, does provide a certain sense of, it gives you a certain sense of equilibrium, I think. And they're always there, they're always open, they're always brightly lit. When I worked at 7-Eleven a few years ago, it was like the strange closing of a circle in a bizarre way. In any event, so I love 7-Eleven. Dairy Queen has fantastic names for things, though, like Dilly Bar. I don't even really know what a Dilly Bar is, but it's a great name. And the Peanut Buster Parfait, Hot Fudge Brownie Delight. The Mr. Misty, I forgot all about that one. Doesn't Mr. Misty sound like some soul singer from the 70s? Like, yeah.
I think that's when the name came up, because I remember getting a Mr. Misty.
Mr. Misty does Mr. Misty does sound like a very 70s. Is that even in existence still? The Mr. Misty?
I don't think I've heard of that.
It's true. You know,
I've been to a DQ in years.
Can I just tell you this? I went to a Dairy Queen a while back, actually. It was sort of disappointing.
Well, all the signs are filthy and everything's covered with grease.
The employees are covered with tattoos and flies. I've talked about that. I just don't eat a lot of junk food. I don't eat a lot of fast food. And every now and again, we'll do that. But I went back and the ice cream was just, it tasted a little off to me. Maybe that was just that one location. The point is, I don't know what the point is. Mr. Misty, da-da-da-da-da. And then they hold the thing at Dairy Queen for a while where Dennis the Menace was all over everything.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Is that still the case?
That didn't make any sense. It might as well have been Eddie Haskell or something.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. But we're not here to talk about that. I'm just talking about this. We'll go to 7-Eleven. Get some free crack. Get a Slurpee, which I think they created that kind of beverage. Just like, this was my point, that Dairy Queen created the Blizzard, which has now been copied by everybody. Because the Blizzard, you go to every fast food place and they've all got their ice cream with crap in it. Ice cream with crumbled up crap. But you know what I mean? Ice cream with stuff.
I'm so swinging by 7-Eleven on my bike ride home.
Oh, I love Slurpees. 25%. Oh, and they're also making big... Who would have thought that we lived in an era when Big Gulps weren't big enough? I know that I'm just sitting here doing a whole lot of... Do you remember when I was a boy? But let's talk about this for just a second. Do you remember when the big... Thank you. Do you remember when the Big Gulp first came out? Isn't that 32 ounces?
Well, they're bigger. They go up to 64.
No, but that's the super... Okay. Nah, so now we got to do the whole thing. There was the Gulp. You all don't remember the Gulp because I don't even think they sell the Gulp anymore. There ought to be like an horchata one called the Gulp of Mexico. The Gulp of Mexico.
Oh. The Gulp of Mexico.
Sons of bitches, that's funny. All right, somebody's laughing at that. No, there was a Gulp, which I think was 16 ounces, which in and of itself, that's already a can and a half of soda. That's 50% larger, I think, than a can of soda. We're not going down this road again. Then there was the Big Gulp, which is 32. The Super Big Gulp, I believe, is 64. And then there is the double gulp, which I believe is 88 ounces. You know that double, you've seen the double gulp. It, like, it's not even a cup. It's like a big envelope. You know what I'm talking about? You probably had some, because there were always dudes in high school that would get that at lunch. It's the double gulp, and it folded over like an envelope at the top and had a clip. You even know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
Kids, somebody remembers the double gulp. It might not even exist. All right. Well, there you go.
It's a big bag of wet sugar that you would drink.
It's an urban legend.
It's not. Yes, it's an urban legend.
You have it after you wake up and your kidneys empty.
You have it while they're digging the spider out of your head. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have equated those two things. No, I love 7-Eleven, though. I do. I love it so. And I know it's, a lot of people make sport of 7-Eleven. They make fun. I like 7-Eleven. And you know what? I will tell you this right now. I like their food. I like the food that rotates on those little metal spoolie things. Their nachos are good, too. I don't care who says differently.
Sons of bitches.
All right. Are these people all calling about the double gulp? Of course they are. All right. Jesus God. All right, let me get these calls. And we've got to talk about the World Series of Pop Culture, because Court and the Fat Boy are going to be here at 1:30. Well, they can wait. Paul, hello.
Hello, Rick, are you there?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Rick. Wait, no, by God, I am here.
Okay.
What are the odds?
Yeah, I got this goofy story that I don't know if you had heard about it or not, but it's kind of thing that I know you would kind of find amusing.
Okay.
There's this man up in North Portland. He is of African-American persuasion.
Oh, God. Where
is he? He has his head shaved, and he wears a stud earring and dresses himself in what you might call upscale sports attire.
Where is this story going?
Okay. He has an uncanny resemblance to Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And he says for the last 15 years, he says he's been kind of amused by it. But lately, he says now he's just being real bothered because people keep coming up to him and wanting his autograph and everything else. So are you ready for this? This guy has filed a lawsuit against Nike and Michael Jordan for $830 million.
I read about this. I didn't know he was... He's in Portland, though?
Yes, North Portland.
I read the story yesterday. It was like, man sues Michael Jordan for resemblance. I'm like, well, that's amusing. And then I just moved on.
Yeah, yeah. He drives a shuttle bus between the rental parking lot and the terminal at the airport. And he also owns a car detailing business. But he went ahead and paid the fee and has filed the papers in Washington County Courthouse. He's acting as his own attorney. Gosh, I guess maybe he couldn't find a lawyer that would take this case.
All right. Well, do you know this man?
No, I don't know him personally, but here's the thing. I know exactly what this guy's doing. He has no chance in hell of this thing ever going anywhere. It's going
to
be this...
Oh, no, he wants to get a job in commercials looking like Michael Jordan.
I think that's exactly... He wants his 15 minutes of fame. See, ESPN has already picked up on this story.
Totally. Well, no, you could... Look, there's a guy, and I forget the guy's name, but I interviewed him a long time ago.
Huh?
We're never going to get to anything. This is all too... You know what it is? Today's a show where even every little tiny fingernail pairing of a topic is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It's like somebody slipped me something, and everything I hear is the most interesting thing ever. I interviewed a guy a few years ago who has an uncanny resemblance to Michael Jordan, or not Michael Jordan, to Bill Gates. That's this guy. To Bill Gates.
Yeah.
He looks like Michael Jordan and Bill Gates. It's the damnedest thing. No, there's a guy who looks like Bill Gates, and he makes his living. He makes his living showing up at corporate events where they don't ever say he's Bill Gates.
But they just assume he is.
They say, well, he lives in Washington, and they say, we have now a visitor from Washington, many of you may recognize. And they bring him in, and he never says he's Bill Gates, but he never says he's not Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And he just sits there and goes, so, anyway, let's talk about productivity. Guy from Washington who looks just like Bill Gates, and that's what, he makes like 10 grand a pop,
coming
in and lecturing people who all think he's Bill Gates.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, this guy, he's going to make sure at the Washington County Courthouse with the cameras from ESPN and everybody else, flashing his picture. And
this is a busy week at court. This is a busy month at the courthouse. We got to go see that woman who hit Sarah's car, too. All right, well, we'll see what we can do. Thank you, Paul.
All right.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Cue Ed McCarthy laughter right here. Or that. Okay. Let's see. I'll get... hey, hello. So you have double gulp information.
Yes, the double gulp. It's like the top of a milk carton.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a glass. It's like a cup until you get to the top, at which point it's like a big thick milk carton type. It's like an envelope made out of milk carton walls that you fold together and clip. How many ounces is the double gulp?
I believe. Oh God.
This is like that whole thing about Wendy's changing their sizes.
64.
It's what?
Yeah. Huh? It's like over 64 ounces, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, maybe the, okay, here's what it, oh, no, 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 here's what it is. The Big Gulp is 32. The Super Big Gulp is 44. This, that is a double gulp. So it's 64. All right. There you go. Thank you.
It would flatten the tires of a compact car.
You had to choose between like four different straws.
No, yeah, and there were multiple straws. Yes, I do remember that. All right.
Multiple straws.
But thank you, my, all right, thank you, my friend. Big grains of salt. Thank you. Good God almighty. Does the show, it seemed like the show's becoming faster paced recently.
It does.
Like we're so, like we're on some sort of, I don't want to say going downhill, but you know what I mean. Like something that's rolling and picks up speed. It does seem like this show is becoming faster and faster. We do need more time, but there's just no way. There's no way to do it. I get people who ask us sometimes if we could expand the show from 3 hours to 4 to 5, and we'll have to talk about this. No, there you go. You've heard the voice of Tim. Who is this?
Is this me?
Let me check.
Well, let's see. I don't know. Is this you?
This is me.
Oh, well, hello, sir. Congratulations. How happy you must be with that turn of affairs.
I feel so.
Somewhere sweet. Abraham Maslow is smiling.
Hey, it's Harold, the theater geek.
Hi, Harold, the theater geek. Have we entered some sort of an event horizon where everybody has a name and a sound effect now?
We all want to be on the show, man. Anyway, I just called to tell you, you are a massive tool for not watching the World Series of Pop Culture.
Thank you.
Last night.
Yes, there's nothing that'll get you invited back to the show faster than starting off the call with that. So I'm
That's
massive.
That's what I was hoping.
I'm a massive tool. Why?
Because you didn't see the World Series of Pop Culture last
now,
night.
Now, I'm so confused about this. I was asked because I did fail to watch it. I failed to watch and watched to fail. And I asked our friends at 98.7, a couple of the biggest hits, the biggest stars, I asked them if they had seen it, and they told me it wasn't on last night. They told me it was on Sunday.
Oh!
Well, what does that sound?
What's that sound?
Well, did you watch it?
I watched it last night.
Oh, so it was on. What channel is this on?
It was on VH1.
Oh, well, so it's on every night.
If it's VH1,
you know what they do? They just take the one show and they play it until you're sick of it, and then they do the same thing with another show.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I heard that on the World Series of Pop Culture last night that the Portland guys won.
Yes, I actually know one of the guys on the team. I was in a play with him, and he's moved out to LA since.
All right. Can you get him on the show, sir?
Sure, maybe.
If you do that, I'll give you a sound effect.
Woo! All right. Well, it's a deal. I'll send him some info.
I can't even tell if that was sarcastic. Is it an ongoing thing? Do they have to win? Is it literally like a World Series? Do they have to win best of seven?
Yeah, it's one of these hyper-enlarged bar trivia contest things where they're having a tournament, and these were the beginning rounds, and then they'll have semifinals and the finals, and someone wins $250,000, I think.
You know, and I was talking about this yesterday, that, you know, I can't watch that show because it just, all of those trivia shows, they make me, they make me sad and infuriated because I realize that I should be on there because I would win hands down. It's almost unfair, actually, that I live in the same universe as those shows.
Oh,
because
yeah, right.
You know it's true.
Do they live together in a mansion between shows?
Do they get drunk and hang out in the hot tub together?
Well, they didn't show that part, but they were yelling and screaming in the theater, so I think somebody started already.
Having some drama nerd slap fight. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Harold. I appreciate it, sir.
Right.
All right, there you go. What is it? Okay, we need to have a sound effect for something random happening.
Arizona!
We've got this. This is on the screen here. This is from Scotty J, who's typing on the screen. I'm going to read this now verbatim. Rick, I got a hold of the Cool in the Gang peeps. You're talking with them Thursday, by the way.
Are you asking him to book these people for
No.
you?
I thought that guy died.
Cool? Or the gang?
What are the gang?
Oh. He's really cool now. Ah.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. No, you're too kind. It's on the screen. Look at it right here. Got a hold of Cool and the Gang peeps. You'll be talking with them Thursday, by the way. Okay. I'm no longer in control of my own apparently I'm talking to Cool and the Gang. Or maybe I'm just talking to their peeps.
Can we get Don Rickles back?
Probably. We should have him back once a day and just wait for the day that he can't call us back. That'll be our death watch. We should just have him on every day just to do the weather or something. And then one day we'll call. The phone will just ring and ring. Oh, good God. All right. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Rick.
Hi there. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, I honestly don't know today. How can I be of assistance to you on the Rick Emerson program?
I figured out why your show seems so fast-paced and, like, never ends.
Do I want to know the answer to this? Why? Because lately, now let's stop before you have the answer. Let's quick take a quick poll of the room. Sarah, do you agree that lately we're suffering what Art Bell calls the quickening, where it does feel like this show is picking up, I don't know if it's good or bad, in moment. It does feel like that we're getting, there's more and more stuff happening, and every day just 3 hours are going by faster and faster and faster.
It does feel a little more packed, and it does go by faster.
And it's just, we're really on like greased rails or something. Tim, do you feel that way?
Yeah, it's almost like we're waiting for that Umbop comet to come and take us away. Like on the Larry King. I was thinking a different program. Well, never mind.
Okay. All right, Michael. So, what is your assessment of this situation, sir?
It seems so fast paced because the show doesn't end now till 10 or 9. Whenever Fat Boy and the other guy.
No. All right, there's no call for that, sir. No, thank you. No, you're too kind. No, we're burying the hatchet with those guys today. They're going to be in. I have to tell you this. No. What time are they going to be here? 1:30.
1:30.
They'll be here 1:30. No, they called me. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that.
No problem.
All right, there you go. Sounds a little sad that we didn't laugh more heartily. I mean, if we had that Ed McCarthy laugh, sir, somebody excerpt out and send me the Ed McCarthy laugh. We need to start playing it now.
Please.
Wave format. I got off the air yesterday, and we were all amped up about it yesterday because it doesn't, because we try not to pick fights with people, and we try not to let others pick fights with us. You know what I mean? Because, you know, winners never prosper and something saves nine. And we just don't do that. But I don't know. But every once in a while, though, like the last time it happens with the fan guys. But we just got under our skin yesterday. And so we had the whole show yesterday. We were like, screw those. They're dead to me. And we're just all pissed off about it. And then my cell phone rang at like 3:15. And I answered it. And it was Corden Fatboy. I can tell this. It's not a, you know. And I didn't say this on the air, but so I answered the phone, and it was, and they're like, and you can always tell, by the way, when you're being taped, because I pick up the phone, I'm like, hello, and they're all, hey, Rick, it's Corden Fatboy. And it's like,
yeah.
Totally, you can hear the room noise, and you know that you're like on speakerphone, or it's going into the Vox Pro, which is like the little thing that they, like when you listen to a radio, any radio station now, except for ours, unless you're listening to a live talk show, when you hear a caller, and that's like, hey, let's go to the phones. What do you want to hear?
I'd like to hear some grinning and nodding.
Okay, we'll get it on for you. What station plays the most, you know? That call is not live. That call was taped like half an hour previously, and they went through with a fine-tooth comb and edited it down so that the caller really sounded like they had their crap together. But I could tell that the call was being taped. And I said to them, I'm like, is this call being taped? And there's a long pause yesterday as Court and Fatboy are calling me. I said, is the call being taped? And I hear this, maybe. And so I said, well, why don't you not do that? And so I had them turn around. We had a long talk about it, though. And so they're going to come on today. I feel it's... I want to move on and put it behind it. You know what it is? Because here's what I did. I learned something today. And also yesterday, but mostly today. I did... We'll hear their side of things when they come in. But I do have to say that I was stopping. I was in a better place. Was cooled off about it a little. And I was I had sort of relaxed and calmed down. And I do realize that those guys are very geeky, full on screaming dorks. And they are very much cut from the same cloth as this program is in many ways. So I am willing to acknowledge that geeky minds think alike, and that when presented with source material, they may naturally gravitate towards or latch onto many of the same things that appeal to us.
Don't they have to play records, though, and stop their train of thought?
I guess. I don't really know. I guess. Well, I mean, look, I don't know. They do a three-hour show, and I downloaded their podcast. It was like 58 minutes. So, I mean, it's really, there's only so much time they have to work with anyway. We should stress that this is not at anyone's behest. We are not being told to make nice. No, the rest of the company doesn't
just
even
being adults.
The company doesn't even really know we're here. The company, half the people in this building don't even know who we are. And I don't mean that in a don't you know who I am. I mean they literally don't know who we are. Like
we've just filled out time slips and managed to get paid every 2 weeks.
They think we're part of the cleaning staff. We are not being told to do this, but we do feel it is the mature thing to do. So we're going to bring Court and Fatboy in here in a while. And we're going to get their side of it, and we will all make up, and we will move forward in a life of happy, geeky fulfillment and so forth. I'm sorry, Nate was on the phone. Was this Sarah's Nate? Was on the phone with Cool and the Gang Info? Yeah, well, he had to go. All right, well, so Cool and the Gang are going to be here on Thursday.
Well, what's left of them?
But you should introduce them as that on Thursday. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the remnants of Cool in the Gang.
You've got to kind of lasso Scotty in before he starts booking a bunch of random people.
It's just Cool in the Gang.
No, it's Ool in the Gang.
Oh, come on. That's genius. Can I get a little... Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry. Do I have to... I have to what, Sarah?
I'm saying I think you might need to lasso Scotty J in a little bit before he starts booking like every...
He's already booked David Cassidy, and I didn't ask him to. Like, I just come in here every day, and there are people booked. Rick, today, you're talking...
That's going to quickly go from funny to awkward.
I know, it's a whole lot. You're talking to Jim J. Bullock. Go. You know, that's... Jim J. Bullock, who is not dead. I thought he was dead. Not dead. He's touring in some production of something. All right. Do we have to break here? We got Roop coming up, don't we? He's going to talk about somebody who's dead. Roop will be here. Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles will be here in just a moment. To talk about...
June Allison being dead.
Yes, no one knows who she is, but we're talking about her.
Well, it was 88. Never remember the Cool of the Gang.
She's still 88. Anyway, we got that coming up. Court and Fatboy will be here. Peter Carlin, Dennis Pitzenbarger. We got to talk more about this the World Series of Pop Culture because I didn't see it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Here's the Mr. T Experience. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Sarah's decreed we're not taking any more phone calls. I don't know anything about someone similar to but legally distinct from Sarah's decreed that there's no more calls today. We'll try.
No, we have so much to do. We're not getting anything done.
And I know that that's a common lament and refrain on this program, that we're plunging further and further behind, but really, you have no idea.
And no, we have actual things scheduled that we cannot get further behind on.
Yes, including Cool and the Gang, who are not today, by the way. It's coming up Thursday. And there's somebody else coming on Thursday, and I can't think of who it is. Is it that Missile Command guy? That's nothing. So here's what we got to get done in the next hour and 25 minutes. We got to talk more about the World Series of Pop Culture and my continuing shame at not having watched it. We've got Peter Carlin from The Oregonian, and I got to figure out whether his book came out so I know how to properly fawn all over him. We have Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. We've got Court and Fatboy standing by. We're going to talk about that whole festering pit of unpleasantness that unfolded over the last couple of days. Isn't there something else? There's got to be something. We have the City Desk.
Did you say Carlin?
Carlin. And then presumably Jim Roop, who is calling now, I would think. We both stare awkwardly at the phone, thinking we can make it ring.
Yeah, there was kind of a hard time scheduling today with Richard. He kept getting the East and West Coast times confused.
Which is difficult, because they keep changing on a daily basis.
True.
I thought it was Tyler today.
No.
All right. Well, you know what? So we should just go ahead and do the Court and Fatboy thing, because we can always move. June Allison's going to stay dead. No one even knows who she is. It's just Tim and I. It's another one of those news segments that Tim and I are only talking about so that we can make like a, you know. So
yeah. Who was she?
She was, you know, she was that woman.
Oh.
She was like a Doris Day type from the 50s. She played like the mom or like the June Cleaver role in like a billion different films. It's just so Tim can make like My Little Margie jokes. And so we can play the snuff watch theme. That's kind of the extent of it. All right, it's fine. And here's the thing. And you know, the minute I say, all right, let's welcome now, the line's going to ring, and it's going to be Roop. All right. And Scotty, so if Roop calls, well, we just have to not take him. We have to blow him off, because there's no way we can do it next hour. All right, Scotty J, so please now to be blowing off Jim Roop if he calls in, because we have no time to do it. Please extend my apologies to him. All right. Ow, and there he's calling right there. God. All right, hold on. God bless it. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles, Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Man, how did you know it was me?
Oh, how did I know?
Yeah, that was a lucky guess.
Yeah,
that
it was a lucky call. Just call it a hunch. How's life in Los Angeles, brother?
Life is beautiful. It's sunshiny. It's hot. Carl Rove is in town. It's a wonderful day.
Is Carl Rove in town?
Yeah, that's where I'm coming back from. He spoke at the National Council of La Raza. They have this big Latino conference going on.
Carl Rove, this is the white Carl Rove who spoke at that?
The white day, the Norwegian, just, yes.
Okay. Was there like some sort of a mix-up on the scheduling, or?
That was my question. When he started talking about his Norwegian heritage, I thought, well, I asked the lady next to him, I said, do you think he knows who his audience is here?
By the way, it was clarified for the... For the Rick Emerson, La Raza is an organization. It's like a Latino power thing, right?
Yeah, it's a Latino advocacy group. Yes.
Why? Who invited? Who was the guy that? Who sat down and said, we have the like Latino advocacy group and Karl Rove. Those two things were perfectly together. Schedule it now.
That's one reason why they sent me. It was odd that the Bush administration would be involved, but you know, La Raza is a pretty big organization that is a little more moderate than extreme. So, and they like President Bush's plan, I guess, his immigration plan of the path to citizenship and the guest worker program. And so Karl Rove was invited to speak, and he did all right. You know, there was a few anti-war protesters here, which made it interesting, but for the most part, it was a snoozer.
All right. Well, in any event. So June Allison's dead.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's exactly why you called me.
No, I don't really care all that much. We're only really talking about this so that Tim Riley can play his collection of, like, Father Knows Best sound effects and so forth. So she was dead. She's dead. She's 88. She was in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, she had, bronchial pneumonia or something like that. She died of respiratory failure due to bronchitis. It's pretty sad. I mean, she was all right, you know. She was in one of my favorite movies, the Jimmy Stratton story, you know, opposite Jimmy Stewart.
That was actually on Turner Classic Movies just 3 or 4 weeks ago, actually. It was like 2 a.m. I saw that on there. I will now read to you from your own news organization's release on her. This is, she's a woman. She acted for 55 years. She had an illustrious career. She acted opposite some of America's biggest stars. And then this, by the way, is how CNN.com tags her life. This is a woman. She worked at MGM. She worked with Elizabeth Taylor. She worked with Janet Leigh. She worked in Margaret O'Brien. She was in Little Women. CNN.com tags her life with this. For most of the last two decades of her life, she talked about the importance of research in gynecological diseases in senior citizens. There you go. There you go. That's the tag for...
That's important.
That's how you want... Okay. That's how you...
You know,
it's important,
you
but
gotta,
it's...
You got to end with her most recent works.
I'm just picturing a lot of disco music at an old folks home somewhere and a lot of gold chains on wrinkled chests. All right.
Well, you know, she did those Incontin commercials, you know, those Depends commercials. She did those.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's nowhere left to go with this.
Issues.
No, this has all come to an end. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you noticed that Ed McCarthy chortle seems to be his default sound whenever he doesn't really know what to do on a phone call?
No, I didn't really notice that.
Next time you talk to Ed McCarthy, just give him some non sequitur that he can't really respond to. Just say something like, don't you think that spatulas are purple, Ed? Just something that has no, like, logical rejoinder to it. And just, there'll be, like, a pause or, like, a second and a half, and then there'll be sort of a... And then he'll just stop. It's like it's some sort of, like, it's like an alarm on a radio station automation system. It just kicks on whenever there's silence for more than 2 or 3 seconds. You just...
That's okay. It works for Ed.
A little insight into Ed McCarthy from The Rick Emerson Show.
I will experiment with that, sir.
All right. We have nowhere to go, and I apologize for wasting 8 minutes of your life today.
It's not a waste. Right.
Thank you, Jim Roop.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. I felt compelled to do it. He called right as I was getting ready to blow him off. All right, let's welcome now to The Rick Emerson Show from our sister station, Brock 101. I feel like I should have a lot of compression on my voice. Brock 101. KUFO.
That's pretty good.
Cross it. Well, it's that whole thing. Except there would be like a zany sound effect, like from a film dropped in the middle of it for no readily apparent reason.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Am I not healing the rift? Our production sounds the same. Our production sounds like you got one of those libraries and then like my DVD shelf and then like a voice guy and just kind of put it into a blender and baked it into a pie and then put it on the air. That's what our production all sounds like.
It's all fine. It's all radio, so what does it matter?
It's true. All right. So let's welcome Court and Fatboy from the show of the same name, who you may have heard of over the last few days of this radio station. So I kind of told this story early on, and we'll do that thing they do in like popular fiction and memoirs of people who've been touched by scandal. We'll start with what everybody knows you for right now, and then we'll jump back.
Okay.
Because, like, if you read, like, you know, like, you read a book, like the George Stephanopoulos book, and the preface is like, I was watching on television as Monica Lewinsky claimed that she'd had an affair with Bill Clinton, and then it jumps back to, you know, I was 1962, I was at Georgetown. So, yesterday, I got off the, and I ain't gonna talk about this, I got off the air yesterday, and I went into my office, like, 3:15, and the cell phone rings, and it's the, you know, unrestricted number, or, like, it doesn't say what it is.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I'm always really reluctant to answer those, because I was saying earlier, it's always some guy that I owe money to. And so I just send it right to voicemail, or I pick it up and just begin jabbering in a foreign tongue. But yesterday, I pick it up, and it's you guys.
Yeah.
And, of course, I can hear the telltale sort of, hello, Rick, it's Court and Fat Boy.
You're not in the studio.
You're not being taped. Give us all your thoughts about this. So I said, well, let's not tape this now. So we had this long talk about all of this unpleasantness that began, you know, bubbling up like a bad creme brulee for the last few days. Here's, as close as I could figure out, here's what happened. So you have to sort of jump back and realize that we have spent a long time here, years, I would say, 8 years now, training the audience to instinctively hate anybody who is on FM.
Sure.
And especially...
You've done well. You've done well.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know what happened, but we're thinking it's not very good.
No, so we have trained the audience to instinctively despise anybody who's on an FM music station, because about 90% of things on FM music stations are terrible. Not unlike most things, that 90% of everything is terrible.
Sure,
but
we're not even trying to dispute the fact. Most FM is crap.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, it sort of worked. It sort of had the reverse effect as well. You know, the audience reinforces that with us, so now we of course, instinctively just loathe anybody who's on an FM music station. And we are always predisposed on the Rick Emerson program to believe the worst about people, to believe the darkest side of humanity, to believe all manner of speculation, gossip, innuendo, and rumor without any background or factual foundation for it whatsoever. Hmm. Because it's usually true.
Right.
So, our friend Kristen, who's a longtime listener of this program, God love her, she sends us an email saying, blah, 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 I believe that Court and Fat Boy are pilfering from your radio program. Because we had, and again, I don't mean to besmirch your intentions. I know that everybody does this with love, because they love the show, just like your listeners love your program.
Sure.
Because on Wednesday, last Wednesday, we had Susan Reynolds from marketing on, and I'm like, I have the most genius idea that nobody else has ever thought of. This is a fantastically groundbreaking idea that I alone have ownership of. I want to give away prizes to people who have lots of sex offenders in the neighborhood. Can we give away a gun? And then Susan's like, I'll get back to you. And then she was gone. The next afternoon, I get this, guess what Court and Fat Boy were doing? And it was a whole lot of how you guys, and I listened back to it, were doing what must be called a strikingly similar contest.
Yes. No, I agree. And I actually talked to Fat Boy about this, because we're in the ensuing tension that grew.
Especially the unpleasantness.
The unpleasantness that grew from yesterday's show, your show especially. I was explaining to him, yes, it is striking that this would happen. That we would come up with the exact same thing. I can understand
it's
why
like
they're angry.
It's like an Armageddon deep impact kind of a thing.
Yeah,
it's like you know, it's like you
or Volcano Dante's Peak.
Exactly.
Right.
Accurate. Yes.
I can totally understand why you would think that. And if the roles were reversed, I would think that. But I can guarantee you that that's not how it happened.
All right.
So can you also guarantee that you've never listened to the show?
No.
See, but that's the other thing. So
let me jump in.
One conversation, in the course of one show yesterday, you guys went back and forth like 50 times about whether you even listened.
And that's the thing, and that's why I've grabbed the mic and thrust it in front of my face. I wanted to make sure that everyone realizes we thought you were kidding the Friday that you came out and slapped us in the face. We thought it was a joke. Honestly. No. Don't get mad.
We're not mad.
Okay. Because Sarah's eyeballs just popped out of her head.
I just didn't even think that it was a slap in the face.
Well, the thing is, we thought that it was like a radio stunt, because we thought
that we were being a kooky radio.
That we'd engage in some kind of weird fake radio war to help benefit, not have our listeners mix and mingle.
We don't typically do that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I figured if they at any point ever actually believed that we were ripping off their show, it's not like anyone here doesn't have our email. So I thought for sure someone would contact us.
We do work for the same company. No, we prefer the passive way. We prefer just to wait until you're not looking right in the mess
hall.
That's
the blind side of it. It was sort of like when your roommate drinks the milk, and instead of just knocking on the roommate's door, you post a nasty email, or not email, but nasty note to the fridge. And we're like, oh, so it must be a joke. So we went way over the top, and we're like, that's why... I thought we were dropping hints that it was obvious we were being, you know, almost parodying the
idea.
So
it's the same thing where we, and at that point we're like, we didn't know that you guys were doing it Let me. How do I put this? We did not know. So retarded. We did not know that you thought it was all a gag.
Yeah.
And so, like, we didn't know that you guys were. So you're saying that you were just sort of playing back
yes,
at
us? Yes, of course we were playing back.
Oh,
including the thing that was bleeped out so magnificently on your show yesterday. The word.
Did you actually say that?
The word was sack.
Yeah, I still wouldn't say that.
It wasn't any of the other words that your listeners emailed me with and said, "Hey, why don't you?"
I'm way more of a prude. Yeah, I know. I told Scotty to, but it did handily work out that it sounded like any number of
no,
words.
No, yeah, that was magnificent.
Incidental side effect.
Well done on that.
Yes, well, I try. So, all right. So you should know a couple things. First of all, we don't do typically the kooky, like wacky radio wars. And just because I just
no, the one
that,
time we did it was because they attacked us first.
But see, that wasn't a kooky. But again, that wasn't.
And it wasn't kooky.
I guess what I'm saying is we don't contrive anything like that.
And
like,
neither do we.
Yeah, if you hear us ream somebody, it's because we feel that they've crossed us somehow. And the only time we've ever really done that was with the guys at the Fan, who I do, but the risk of sounding like a third grader, who did start it. They started it
they
by...
They were making fun of you on their show.
And then they came back and started making fun of Sarah, and at that point, it was just like everything, all the gloves were on the ice at that point. It was just, everything. But the problem is that it was so awkward afterward, which is why I don't want it to be that way here. That's right, this is like the Tattaglias and the Corleone. It's like we're all around the wooden table going, I will not be the one to break the peace that we have made here today. Because we didn't talk to the Fan guys for like the last 6 months we were in that building.
Right.
And which is because their desks were right next to ours. Their prep area was right next to us.
When we did, it was really awkward.
It was so forced and it was all like, hello, Dennis Glasgow. And he was like, hello, Rick Emerson. It's just like seething at each other. And then, of course, when we got fired, I'm packing up my stuff and the Fan guys are right there. And Dennis and Ian were really nice, but it's like, and I know that he and I subsequently have mended fences, but as I was packing up my box of stuff, I mean, I've been fired, I'm doing the universal unemployed guide thing. Guy with box full of crap, like letter opener. And freaking Sook was right there, didn't say a word, didn't say sorry, had a barely concealed smirk on his face. We have subsequently made
up. Yeah, I don't get that guy, because then he wrote us this nice email about welcome back to the air.
And he called the show, and was very nice. But I'm saying it was so awkward with those guys. It was a whole lot of like, hello, Fan guys. And it was like Anchorman, like throwing down in the back with Ben Stiller stuff.
Well, and we don't do that type of radio at all. That is not our type of radio. And even with people that we should have that sort of relationship, we don't have that sort of relationship. There's people out there that have taken swipes at us, and we just ignore them.
Right.
So that's not the type of radio we do. And anytime that we attack anyone, it's usually in jest.
And so that's the thing, is because we eschew so many like radio cliches here, that it's like because we don't do it in jest, we sort of figure that no one else does either.
Right.
And so as soon as you guys were like, their little AM station, which needs all the listeners, and at that point it's like I could feel the circuit in my head to like kill closing.
Well,
you know,
the other reason why we're doing that is I thought you were ignoring our cell phone calls, because I was calling.
On Friday,
I called you a good 20 times.
It's a combination of two things.
Yeah.
A, I was gone. My wife, there was a kind of a thing that happened on my wife's family we had to attend to, and then later I did realize it was you guys, and I'm like, well, screw that.
Yeah.
So.
So I went beyond just to hoping that you were actually listening to try and incite you to call us.
No, that's, so it's all...
Yeah, he's very passive.
Yeah, and I
am passive. I'm a woman about some of that stuff. Yeah. I am a girl.
I mean, he will vent for hours to other people.
Sarah's really the guy in this relationship in many ways, because, like, and we've talked about this before, I'm not...
Yeah, I get the beatings for, when
I'm not
something bad.
When I'm not blaming it on Sarah, I'm just saying it is part of the dynamic that I am very passive about it. Like, you guys are calling, I'm like, I'm not picking up the phone. And I talked to Sarah later. I'm like, yeah, Court and Fatboy were calling us. She's like, give me their number. I'll call them. And, you're way more aggressive about it.
No,
I'm weaselly about it.
I just
want to
get things, figured out like we're doing right now. Because we don't need to do something.
And that could have happened had you picked up the cell phone in the first place.
I wasn't going to pick up the cell phone.
Or dropped an email. Because that's what blows my mind, is that our shows have like come together like Voltron in the past before. We've done the cross-promoting. Maybe you guys are the head and we're like the left leg or something.
Yes.
But still.
Thank you.
I mean, there's been like cross-promoting, positive mentions, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then for a month there, apparently you guys were thinking, honestly, straight out, that we were
stealing
your
stuff. Well, not
for
a month.
The fact that at some point it entered into your mind that we were
ripping
you off.
Well, we did get emails about about using the Vader sound.
No, but it entered into other people's minds, and then they sent us.
And again, I don't want to. And again, let me be very clear about this, because Kristen sent me an email. She's like, I feel terrible for starting it. Let me be clear. I don't fault the audience for looking out. I mean, that's what brothers do. You look out and so forth. And I have in no way am I blaming or faulting or criticizing the audience for doing that. Because be honest, that in the past and even now, this show, and this station, do get ripped off a lot. And I'm not going to sit and kvetch about it forever. Yeah. It's a fact of life. But this radio show, let's exclude you from this equation now.
Please.
But this radio program, as everyone knows, does get ripped off a lot. And in fact, one of the emails I read yesterday was not even about you guys. It was about another program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you we shall which not name.
Oh, yeah. More than likely, yeah.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to name the show because everybody knows what show I'm talking about, even you guys.
Yes. And that show maybe isn't as cool.
And it was a whole lot of like, it's like I'm listening to a transcript of the Rick Emerson show. So I totally give it up for the audience for having our back and sticking up because it does happen. It will continue to happen in the future. I'm zen with that, if not cool with it. So I will say this, though. I will acknowledge that you guys, and I mean this in the best way, you guys are geeks and dorks. Fatboy's wearing a Superman shirt. Court's wearing a Superman hat.
Well, I want to clarify, as far as the Vader sound goes, we had that before the movie even came out because I'm an internet nerd and I knew where the bootleg was before the see?
Fair enough.
That's why we had the noise.
Oh, back in there. Because
the
little things trickle. Because we get in the trickling and they're using the Vader noise. And then like a week later, they're saying, are you spreading the word?
Well, and that's the thing. We're similar people. We have a similar outlook on things, and we look at similar things in the same sort of skewed way. It's going to happen eventually that our content is going to overlap.
It's a fair point that if you put, let's use the most tiresome example, it is a fair point that if you bring in the USA Today Purple section, and you set it down on the table, in front of like you guys, and then in front of our show, we're probably going to go through and pick out the same stuff.
Right.
Like if you put it down in front of two sports guys, they're going to pick out the same
things. Exactly.
So geeks will interpret things the same way. They will be attracted to the same things. I do acknowledge that. So I am willing to put it in the past and acknowledge that it was whatever it was just happenstance.
Yes.
Inadvertent duplication.
Exactly. And I did mean. I know you played back our segment where we talked about this. I did mean if you ever hear us doing something that Rick is doing.
Oh, don't.
Email
no,
us. Call
no,
us.
No, don't. Because then the audience.
What?
I got to ask for my own personal. Now, was the audience cruel to you, our audience?
There was a couple little swipes. And I'm fine with that because our audience is cruel to us all the time. So that's
good job. Well done.
No, but seriously, call us out because I want to know when that perception is out there, because there's nothing I hate more than the perception that I'm stealing from somebody. That irritates the crap out of me. So if you think that I am stealing or we are stealing, by all means, please let us know so I can try and correct it.
All right. Excellent. Well done, children of the night. I will create an army of atomic supermen. Should we?
Yeah, I was noting that. Actually, he sounds a lot like him.
We were just going to say, Court, you sound a lot like Mike Chase.
Because I've been ripping him off for years.
Well, he's here.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our radio colleague, Mike Chase. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm fine. I don't like this one bit.
What do you like?
I don't like this because I've been in radio long enough to know that this is crap. What is happening right now is crap. Now, nothing against Court and Fatboy, but we all steal. Come on. I steal, you steal, we've all stolen. And I want to introduce you guys to a little concept called parsimony, or maybe you've heard of it, Occam's razor. You know, the simplest explanation that fits the most amount of data. You know, you guys work in the same building. Come on.
We work in separate buildings.
Have you been doing a little drinking today, Mike?
No.
I don't have any. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about you guys. Look, what are the odds? Okay, what's more likely that you guys heard a good idea because there was that whole thing about the sex offender website being about, like,
right.
Oh, is there one?
Yeah.
And you guys, come on, just admit it. You stole from Rick.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. And keep in mind, that website has been around but had stories done on it for about 2 months now by KGW.
I know.
What the hell? Are you just trying to sow seeds of discord?
This is just me talking to you because I'm a radio guy, you're a radio guy, Rick's a radio guy. And he likes to differentiate between the AM and the FM. He likes to have the clowns hate the mimes, I know, but still.
Is it because that he hates your show, Mike? Is that the deal?
Whoa,
I'm just saying, because attack the FM guy, so I'm just saying.
No. Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Oh, is this going to be like, this is like Anchorman.
I steal from him all the time. And
next, Lars is going to call in.
Mike. Okay, I just want to make this utterly, completely clear. I know you're not going to believe it, and I know there's a considerable amount of fans on Rick's side that aren't going to believe what I'm going to say. We didn't rip him
off.
Okay.
It didn't happen.
It's like a mic spill with disgust. Whatever.
I know, because you've been in the radio business quite a long time. I haven't been. I've been like maybe 2 years, so I'm just nice and naive and not burnt about how people stab you in the back constantly in radio. That hasn't happened to me yet. So I understand why you would be coming from that viewpoint, but we didn't.
Yes, because I'm a bitter old drunk sitting here. I understand.
Well, here's my mic. This is what we did. We do steal, but we steal from the internet. That's where we steal from.
We steal from FARC. We all just go to FARC.
Yes, we steal from FARC all the time.
That's not even reputable stealing. The thing is, there's no shame in stealing. You've heard the phrase, you know, talent borrows, genius steals. I firmly believe that. I'm sure Rick has even stolen from somebody before. If he did, he would have the decency to admit it.
It's true. I will say, actually, that a couple of things, like even when I've inadvertently duplicated, I've apologized.
Like the mystery sound?
Here's a pertinent example, actually. The mystery sound, which I found out actually goes all the way back to the old 91 Kiss and Wonderful days back in the 60s. The mystery sound was a thing that I was like, hey, guess what the sound is? And then nobody knew it, and it became this two-month thing. Well, Don and Mike do a thing called the mystery sound, and I completely get props. Hold on.
All right.
So I had done at Max, I had done a thing called Rock and Roll A to Z, which is where every day we went literally A, B, C, D, E, and each day, like A was Aerosmith, B was the Beatles, C was Cheap Trick, and we was like, because my intern at the time didn't know anything about music, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard Bozic on KUFO doing... in whatever, you know, hey, it's Rock and Roll High School. And I'm like, son of a bitch! You know, and then I found out that he'd been doing it, and so I actually apologized to him on the air for inadvertently duplicating the bit and so forth. So,
right.
Yes.
And first, I have to say at the outset, for all...
Are you just here to, like, make us hate each other again?
No. I just think we need to call a spade a spade. But the thing is, at the outset, it's not like you wrote Moby Dick. I mean, it's not like they stole... Come on, it's not like it was that big of a thing in the beginning, right? I mean...
Well, and that's why it's astounding that somebody would think that we would, like, go out of our way to steal it, because it was just a bit.
All right, have you guys ever stolen from another radio show before?
Not intentionally. And maybe Stern. There may have been something I've taken from Stern before, but
there may have been something that just sort of crept into my unconscious mind.
No. I think I've actually actively stolen from Stern.
No, this is a good question. Have you ever? I'll cop to it if I have. Have you ever actively stolen a bit from another radio show?
I would imagine I have. I can't think of an example right now, but I would imagine I have. But I wouldn't steal from somebody from Portland because listeners in the area would know.
I don't think I've actively stolen anything, but I will say that I am the first to admit that I've got all kinds of phrases, catchphrases, mannerisms, most of them from Rush Limbaugh, of all people.
You're a pastiche. You're a melange.
I'm a pastiche.
Radio influences.
Thank you.
Well, Court wasn't lying when he said that if we do steal from anything, it's the internet. I know there's been a couple of bits when I first
we
got
probably
that
all
early.
Go to the same internet site.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Oh, like Maddox's best page in the universe.
Yeah.
I've mined that for like a bit or two.
I lived in Salt Lake, so yeah. I'm all over that guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, I got
a
great idea. I'm gonna have people call up and try to swap, used goods over the radio. I'm gonna call it radio, and I just thought of it. I think it's gonna be fantastic. What do you think?
I'm gonna do a fantastic bit called the Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Right,
Mike Chase.
Bye.
There you go. That was kind of creepy. We were all getting along, and then Mike said, no, fight! He called you a fag!
I feel weird.
He said your wife was, you know, ugly. All right. Well, so there you go. So here's the thing. So Mike Chase's contributions to Discord notwithstanding, I am willing now, on behalf of the Rick Emerson Show at AM 970 Charlotte State Radio, to move forward. Because here's the thing. Because I went to you guys' aliens screening.
Yes, yeah.
We've been talking about snakes on an MF plane.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. And so I do realize you guys are geeks. We to paraphrase, bigger than Jesus. We are all, to steal from myself, we are all freaks here. We're all geeks. We're all nerds and tools. And so I have created now this. This is something I have created, which can now be stolen by someone else. I have created now the first Portland, Oregon Radio Geek non-aggression pact and a statement of social misfit unity. We will now sign this, and like the Japanese guys did on the boat or whatever after World War II. With
MacArthur,
Missouri. Thank you. Somebody went to college. And so this, let me now read this. Sarah, do you have the appropriate? I'm going to read this now. To paraphrase a great man, it's hard out here for a geek. And to paraphrase another great man, that is to say me, Rick Emerson, this time could be much better spent focusing on geek commonalities instead of our differences. On arguing Xena versus Gabrielle instead of Court versus Rick or Fatboy versus Aaron. This time is for us to come together as nerds, freaks, misfits, losers, tools, gamers, listeners of metal, throwers of dice, readers of multi-part Alan Moore graphic novels. The time is here for us to leave the past behind and instead to move toward a glorious future and a shared vision. One in which all men, no matter how dorky and overfed, may one day leave their basements and finally get a date. And so, in honor of this new direction, We hereby pledge to keep this, the first Portland, Oregon Radio Geek Non-Aggression Pact and Statement of Social Misfit Unity. We will put our past conflicts behind us and put our concentration on those whom we both despise. Beginning with Lars Larson and that guy that made Alien vs. Predator.
Bravo.
This we pledge on Tuesday, July 11, 2006. For we are one, no matter how different me may seem. One with the same beliefs. I believe that Hans shot first. I believe that Ali Sheedy was hotter before Molly Ringwald cleaned her up. Yes. I believe in miniatures, models, claymation, and not revealing the shark until you absolutely have to. I believe that George Lucas, for better or worse, changed the way we see the world, ourselves, and each other. And I believe that we will someday reach those stars that he himself made visible. I also believe George Lucas to be a narrow-minded, money-grubbing, pig-headed slave to the now.
Yes.
Who ought to be locked away from his own creations, lest he do them further harm. I believe that Jean-Luc Picard is the better starship captain, but I do believe that James Tiberius Kirk is infinitely cooler. I believe that children standing in line to buy a book at midnight is fantastic. I believe that reading makes you smart and schools make you dumb. I believe that any episode of Futurama is better than any program featuring a precocious teenager, wise beyond their years. I also believe that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the sole exception that proves this rule. I believe that comic books are an art form, and will someday be recognized as such. I believe that good shows die too young, and crap shows last too long. I believe that boycotts, petitions, and sending the president of Fox lots of candy will never save a program. That only heads on spikes will ever do that trick. I believe that Eddie Izzard is the funniest man alive, and I don't give a good goddamn whether you've ever heard of him or not. It's still true. I believe that a girl who likes movies about zombies is hotter than whoever's on the cover of Maxim this month.
That's my girl. That's my chick.
I believe that Belloc ate that fly.
Yes!
And I swear to God that I heard Luke call Leia Carrie. And I believe that Samwise Gamgee never quite got the credit he really deserved. I believe in magic. I believe in dreams. I believe in the power of music, movies, and the untold worlds inside an everyday library card. And I do not believe that the geeks will inherit the earth. I believe we already have.
Bravo. Bravo. Genius.
Beautiful.
All right.
I'll sign that.
Yes. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Court and Fat Boy, evenings 6 to 9 on Rock 101.
Hey, UFO.
Right. Thank you so much. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.